Let me begin asking you to take your Bibles, if you will, and don't have to turn very far into it this morning, just the second book in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. And when you get into Exodus, be finding chapter 2, and we're going to be looking this morning at the first 10 verses here in Exodus chapter 2. And let me just say, mothers are an integral part of our lives, and we wouldn't be who we are without them. And some of the greatest people in history spoke of how important their mothers were to their lives. And so, for example, George Washington declared, "All I am, I owe to my mother." And Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And how true that is. Well, you're in Exodus, the second chapter, and let us look together here at Exodus chapter 2, and let us focus upon these first 10 verses. And the word of our Lord says unto us, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Well, friends, we're going to be talking here in just a moment about a man with two mothers. And that man's name, of course, Scripture identified for us, is Moses. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty Father, how great it is to call upon the name of so great a God. Father, you are the God of all mercy, the God of all grace, but more importantly, Lord, you are the God of our salvation. And Lord, as we come to this Mother's Day, Lord, we just pray that if there is a mama out there who has not yet repented of her sin and placed her faith and trust and received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, that this day would be that day. That the greatest gift she could ever receive would be given to her freely through Christ our Lord, who shed his blood for her upon that cross, that she might live eternally with him. Lord, we pray for mothers today who may be struggling, Lord, that your grace and your mercy would touch their heart and their soul. And Lord, as I prayed earlier, I pray every mother, son, daughter, child, Lord, would just honor their mother today. And I will fully realize, Lord, that not all mothers would be in the category of what we might call good mothers. But Father, if their child is living today, that mother gave their child life. And that child ought to honor their mother just simply for the fact that they have a life, because their mother cared enough to carry them to full term and grant them life and not put an end to their life ahead of time. So Lord, we just pray on this day that you would speak to so many people in different walks of life and in different circumstances. But Lord, we just pray your grace and your mercy would come through, and Father, that many mothers, wherever they are today, would be touched by the message that is going to be spoken. And Lord, that you would do what only you can do in the hearts of each mother. But Lord, also as men, as we listen, Lord, we know that what applies to mothers also applies to us. And so help us to have that ear that can hear. And Lord, just bless us on this wonderful day called Mother's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read recently about a young man who was raised by a godly pastor's wife. And he said that when he was rocked to sleep at night by his mother, she just didn't sing to him those little ditties and lullabies, but she sang to him the great hymns of faith. When he was in the crib, he said, "I can remember her leaning over and singing to me, 'A mighty fortress is our God.' And can it be? 'More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. My Jesus, I love thee, and come thou fount of every blessing.'" He said, "She sang to me the deep songs, and I remember those hymns." In fact, he says, "When I got to church, I learned those hymns and more hymns." And that mother, friend, she made a contribution in that young man's life that he never forgot. And this was also true, as the scriptures testify, of one of the greatest men in the Old Testament history, a man named Moses. Moses became the kind of man he was because of the type of mother he had. In fact, he who was very much determined by the type of mothers he had. You see, God gave Moses, as we spoke about, two mothers. And both were good mothers because they both shared some of the same instincts for their roles. For example, they both loved babies. That is clearly seen. Now, that may seem like a given, but friends, not every woman loves kids. For example, there's a story of a woman who went shopping for swimsuits and with her mother in the department store. She was having a hard time finding one that fit. And after trying on at least 10, all to no avail, she was growing increasingly frustrated. Trying to calm her mother said, "Honey, look at it this way. What would you rather have, a husband and three children who adore you, or a swimsuit that fits?" And before she could answer, a faceless voice came from the next dressing room stall that said, "I want a swimsuit that fits." See, not every woman wants kids, but these two did. And that was no small thing in their day, because in Moses' time, these two mothers lived in a culture of death. A decree had gone out from the throne of Pharaoh, stating that every male child that was born to a Hebrew was to be thrown into the Nile River and drowned. You read all about that in Exodus 1 and 22. And Moses' birth mother, Jochebed, was a Hebrew woman, and thus she had a choice to make. The society in which she lived made it virtually impossible to keep her child. Her son was not wanted among the Egyptians, but how could she simply throw her child away? She could have chosen death. That's the easy way. That would have been the easy choice. But she chose life instead. And that wasn't an easy decision for Jochebed to make, because it required her to hide her child for 3 whole months, all the while living in constant fear that Egyptian soldiers would discover the baby. And not only would they kill her child, more than likely they would kill the whole family for disobeying the law. So please understand, this morning, for Jochebed, choosing life was not an easy decision. But then, let's also consider Pharaoh's daughter for a moment. She knew who the baby was. Our text told us that in Exodus 2:6. This is what she said. She opened it and saw the baby crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. She knew this child was a Hebrew. And it was her father, Pharaoh, who had decreed that these children should die. Her society had decided that these babies shouldn't live. Common wisdom had determined that these children were a threat to their nation. And it would have been so easy to let that child die. But she chose life instead. Now I want you to understand something. Both mothers lived in a culture of death. Both mothers lived in a society that had decreed certain children should not live. And you know something, friends? So do we. In this world today. You see, Roe versus Wade set that in motion, and countless children have died as a result. Now, I want you to understand something. God punished Egypt because of their culture of death. Egypt's culture of death required that every male child born to a Hebrew woman was to die. And when God punished Egypt, he brought 10 plagues down upon them. Do you remember what the last one was? This is what it was. God decreed in Exodus 11:5, every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn of son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill. Egypt decreed death for babies, and so God decreed death for their families as well. My friends, I want you to understand something. The Word of God says that you will reap what you sow. You can read all about it in Galatians 6:7-8. Galatians 6:7-8. And Pharaoh's edict of death reaped death for an entire nation. And that's because if you go out and you sow to corruption, that's what you're going to reap. But Moses lived because Jochebed and Pharaoh's daughter never accepted that culture of death. I want to pause here for just a moment and say, I know there are many in our nation today that have had abortions. Our culture has made it so acceptable that it's often chosen before a young woman has had time to consider its implications. But from what I've read, the aftermath of that decision is often devastating. You may know of someone who's had an abortion, or you yourself may have had one. Thus, I want you to remember that our God is a forgiving God. No matter where you are right now, I want you to say this with me. Our God is a forgiving God. You see, we need to ingrain this into our minds, and we need to make certain that those around us are aware of it. Our God is a forgiving God. You see, in Egypt, there were people who escaped God's punishment from that 10th plague, and they did so by applying the blood of the Lamb to the doors of their homes. Today, God tells us that we escape judgment from all our sins when we apply the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, to our lives. You see, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that God removes all of our sin from our lives. And so when we repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God says He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buries it. He removes it. He remembers it no more. Now why would God do that for us? I'm going to tell you why. Because our God is a God who chooses life. Not just life for the unborn, but also for those of us who have made decisions that have brought us shame and guilt. Decisions that have robbed our lives of the joy and promise God created us to have. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we have hope for our lives. And I want you to note, first of all, that Moses lived and became the kind of man he was because his two mothers loved life, and they loved babies. Second, Moses became the kind of man he was because his mothers did everything they could for him. I want you to follow along here. Jochebed hid Moses in order to save his life. Other Hebrew mothers probably hid their children, but to no avail. I mean, it's kind of hard to hide a pregnant woman. Pregnant women kind of stick out in a crowd because, well, you know, they're just so pregnant. And the Egyptians would have been watching. They would have been waiting for the day when she would no longer be pregnant. And then they would come for that child. So knowing that, how could Jochebed succeed in hiding her child for 3 months? I don't know. Bible doesn't say. But perhaps if I'd have been her, I'd have tried putting a pillow under my dress for a while. But even if she did that, that kind of desperation would have only succeeded for just a short time. Even the Egyptians knew a pregnant woman couldn't remain pregnant forever. Eventually, they'd discover she'd given birth. And then they'd take her child, and they would kill him, and probably kill the family too. So what was she going to do? How is she going to save her baby? The Word of God tells us that Moses' birth mother, Jochebed, was a very creative woman. If Pharaoh wanted her child to be thrown into the river, well, that's where she put him. But not before she'd given her boy, her tiny baby, her son, an edge and an advantage in life. And so we discovered that she and her husband had built a little boat for him, a basket that was covered with pitch so it would float, and then she places that boat in the bulrushes along the shores of the Nile. She doesn't put him out in the current where it can take it on downstream. She puts the basket in a sheltered place, a place where it can be found, and certainly she would have scouted around for the best place for him to be found. He will be found. There is no getting around that. And so knowing that, she wants him found by someone who has the power and the influence to make sure he is not put to death. Now friends, you need to understand something this morning. That's a calculated risk. There are no guarantees, but her faith is in the God of heaven, and the God of heaven can do abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or hope. Nothing is impossible for God. It's a calculated risk, but the only one that had the chance to save the child's life. And the only person with that kind of influence is going to be, you got it, Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I could be wrong about some of the details, but it certainly makes sense to me. Because from Scripture, it appears Jochebed had done an awful lot of planning to make certain that her son Moses survived. And so in that, she did everything she could for her son. But then there's Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' adoptive mother. And then it's interesting when she opens that up. She has compassion for him. In other words, she loves this child. And she takes him into her home. And she makes him her son. And so you see, she, like Jochebed, did everything that she could for her child. Acts 7:22 tells us that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was powerful in speech and action. Pharaoh's daughter wanted Moses, her son, to have all the advantages of her culture that her culture could supply. Isn't that interesting? She wanted him to be more than a common laborer. She wanted him to be a leader of men and a ruler of nations. And she succeeded in building him into a man who was powerful in action. She too did everything in her power to give him an edge, an advantage fitting for the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, both of Moses' mothers loved him. They did everything they could to think of, to give him every advantage he could have, but only one of Moses' mothers gave him the thing that changed his life. You see, Pharaoh's daughter, she supplied Moses with the knowledge and wisdom of Egypt. She got him into the best schools. She arranged to find him the best teachers. She supplied him with all the training and he would need to be a success in the worldly Egypt. There are a lot of mothers who do that today. They've provided their child with every advantage, every measure to be certain that they will be a success in this life, this world. And yet Hebrews 11:24 tells us that the time came when Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was something Pharaoh's daughter had not supplied him with. Something was missing from his extensive education in the universities of Egypt. And what was missing? What was missing was a different kind of knowledge. A knowledge of who God was. You see, a problem with our world today is you and I, as people, we tend to get too comfortable right here. And friend, though we've heard it 1,000 times, yet for some reason, maybe we just can't seem to believe it, but I'm going to say it again this morning. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And the only way you're going to get from this world to the next world, the world called heaven, is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because none of us knows how long we're going to live. We just know that one day we're going to step out into eternity. And whether you step up or whether you step down is going to depend on what you've done with Jesus. You see, Moses had the best of things. You can have the finest fare here in life. You can have the finest home, the finest room, the finest clothes, the finest everything. But if you don't know Jesus, you have got the finest of nothing. As parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, we need to realize that even with the most advanced education our society can supply, without God at the center of our children's lives, there's going to be an emptiness that nothing else will ever fill. No matter how many toys you get your kids, no matter how many things you can do for them, if you do not teach them about Jesus, you have missed it all. You see, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon looked at all the advantages a man can have in life. And understand, you and I will never be like Solomon, no matter how rich you may be listening to this today. Wealth, education, power, and success. Solomon had it all. He could do whatever he wanted to do in life. And you know what? He writes about these things in Ecclesiastes 12 and 8. He says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." You see, Solomon ends his book on the meaninglessness of pursuing a life that is filled with nothing more than wealth, education, power, and success with this advice, Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I hope you're giving your child an understanding of who Jesus is. But understand something, you'll never be able to give your child an understanding who Jesus is if you do not know Jesus Christ yourself. So you see, there's the importance. Do you know Jesus? because it's only God who can help us reach our potential. Listen how God puts this in His Word to those who will trust Him and take Him at His Word, Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Family and friends, can this be any clearer? The purpose, value, and meaning of life begins and ends in Jesus Christ. Without God in our lives have no real meaning, no real purpose, and no real value. What kind of legacy do you want to leave when you leave this world? You see, and that's what Moses' birth mother, Jochebed, gave to her son. She couldn't read to him from the Bible because it hadn't been written yet. But what she could do was share with him the stories of the great men of faith, men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And yet she could do even more than that. She could give him the treasure that would last his whole life through the treasure of her own personal testimony of what God had done for them. She could tell how she got pregnant. She could tell how she was living in a culture of death. And she could tell him how she hid him, how she took care of him, how she trusted God and the mighty things that God had done. He is alive because of God. Oh, how great our God is. You see, I believe with all my heart I can make a strong case for that from the Scriptures. I think she gave him the knowledge of Almighty God by sharing her faith in God with him. She told him what she believed. She told him what God had done for them. She told him of the promises that God had in store for his people. And because God was so real to Jochebed, God became real for Moses as well. If you have a mama who's given you a legacy of faith, if she's alive today, you need to thank her. And if she's gone home to glory like my mama has, you need to bow your head and thank Almighty God for such a mother as that. Jochebed loved her son so much that she wanted him to know the most powerful force in her life was God. Not her husband, not her home, not her clothes, not her money, not her job, not whatever else a woman might want. The most powerful force in her life was God. It was God to whom she looked. It was God to whom she trusted. For Jochebed, everything began and ended with God. I want to close with this intriguing explanation of this truth from a book Max Lucado wrote years ago called A Gentle Thunder. He wrote, "Moms, why do you love your newborn child? I know it's a silly question, but indulge me. Why do you? For months this baby has brought you pain. They've made you break out in pimples and waddle like a duck. Because of them, you've craved sardines and crackers and threw up in the morning. They punched you in the tummy. They occupied a space that wasn't theirs and ate food they didn't fix. You kept them warm. You kept them safe. You kept them fed. But did she say thank you? Are you kidding? She's no more out of the womb that she starts to cry. The room is too cold. The blanket is too rough. The nurse is too mean. And who does she want? Mom. Don't you ever get a break? I mean, who has been doing the work for the last 9 months? Why can't Dad take over? But no, Dad won't do. The baby wants Mom. She didn't even tell you she was coming. She just came, and what a coming. She rendered you a barbarian. You screamed, you swore, you bit bullets and tore the sheets. And now look at you. Your back aches, your head pounds, your body is drenched in sweat, every muscle strained and stretched. You should be angry, but are you? Far from it. On your face is a longer than forever love. They've done nothing for you, yet you love them. They've brought pain to your body and nausea to your morning, yet you treasure them. Their face is wrinkled and their eyes are dim, yet all you can talk about are her good looks and bright future. She's going to wake you up every night for the next 6 weeks, but that doesn't matter. I can see it on your face. You're crazy about her. Why? Why does a mother love her newborn? Because the baby is hers? Even more, because the baby is her. Her blood, her flesh, her sinew and spine, her hope, her legacy. It bothers her not that the baby gives nothing. She knows a newborn is helpless and weak. She knows babies don't ask to come into this world. And God knows we didn't either. We are His idea. We are His. His face, His eyes, His hand, His touch. We are Him. Listen, the love a mother has for her child is but a small taste of the love that God has for you. When He looks at you, God sees His finest creation. May we as parents never forget that the best thing we can do for our children is to tell them about God. Jochebed did. And Moses turned his back on the world and he lived for God. As the years go by and our children grow, may we as parents realize the blessed joy of a child who's living for God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You today for Your amazing grace, Your tender mercy. Lord, for those of us who carry the legacy of faith that our mothers instilled in us, Lord, we just say thank You to You this morning. Lord, we pray Your mercy, Your grace to be upon all mothers today. And Lord, may every mother think of their role and the importance of their role in teaching their children about Jesus. May every mother desire to give their child the gift that will last for eternity, the gift of a testimony of what faith in Jesus Christ means. And Lord, right now, wherever that mother is, she does not know You. Today is that opportunity. It's another opportunity for a mother to ask Christ to be her Savior. And oh, how great the joy when our sins are washed away. Right now, the hand of God is reaching down from heaven on high. And what needs to happen, moms, is that your hand of faith needs to reach up and take hold of God's hand of grace. And if you'll do that this morning, and just pray this prayer, oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for living for the wrong values. Forgive me for living for the wrong things. Forgive my sin. Lord, I am in need of a Savior. Father, would You come into my heart and save me? I repent of my sin and I want to receive Jesus Christ. And if you've done that this morning, rest assured that you are now saved. You are now a member of God's holy family. The future will be brighter. It'll be brighter because God is in control of all of your situation. God knows. And as Jochebed's stories prove, God can do abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or hope. Oh, how great our God is. As a Christian mama, maybe you've fallen. Maybe you've grown weary. Just remember this. Our God is a God of all grace. Whatever your situation today, just know that God is in control. The blessing is around the next corner. Believe it, pray it, look for it, hang in there. God is with you. He hears and He knows and He's about ready to perform. You just need to have the faith to believe. And I pray that you'll have that faith. And oh Lord, we just pray your amazing grace today. We thank you for the message to us. And Father, may you do an abundant work in each of us. As Brother Marty comes to sing our last song in this service this morning, wherever you are at home, if God is speaking to your heart, would you obey? Don't just ignore it. God is asking something. Obey Him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Marty, if you'd come, please.
With me, and he does.